With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Really threw your system for a loop. It's sort of like you then have to start over. Okay, well, go back in, test and assess and address what's going on at that point. I guess my point is that it's non-linear. It's dynamic. It will ebb and flow. And you just need to be on top of becoming just an acute observer and listener to your own body.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune and Life Interrupted Radio. Join the Autoimmune Hours Courage Club. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And as always, it's just such an honor and a pleasure to be with you here on another brand new episode. We have a return guest. You guys are always asking for Dr. Nasha Winters to come back, and she's been so busy writing her latest bestseller. It came out last month and is doing awesome. We're going to talk about that, but I want to read her bio for those of you that aren't familiar with Dr. Nasha Winters. She is a global healthcare authority and best-selling author in integrative cancer care and research. She consults with physicians around the world, and she's here today from her lovely location down in Mexico. So I'm so happy she's been here with us. She's educated hundreds of professionals in the clinical use of mistletoe. Now we're going to talk to her about that because her latest book, I want to read the title because I don't want to get it wrong. Mistletoe and the Emerging Future of Integrative Oncology. And her first book that I interviewed her on was The Metabolic Approach to Cancer. So here's a copy of that for you guys on the YouTube to see the copy of that. That's this book. Dr. Nasha, so happy to see you. Thank you for being on the show again.
It's so fun. I tell you, you know, you and I start talking, we were supposed to go on recording about 54 minutes ago. We just spent 54 minutes just gabbing, catching up. We probably should record that sometime.
I think so.
Elements, because we hit on a lot of juicy nuggets, but it's always a pleasure to be with you. And I'm so glad to see that you have weathered the crazy storms of the last 2 years. And it's just a blessing and a joy to be with you and your listeners. So thank you.
Thank you. And we're thrilled that you've weathered the storm as well. Oh my goodness, the crazy times. When I saw your latest book come out, I have to be honest, I thought mistletoe was a poison. I mean, I remember like, don't eat the berries. Don't wash your hands. So I never actually celebrated it with the holidays because I'm like, wow, that's too scary for me.
Totally. Yeah. Well, it's funny. I love that you ask that question or have that sense because it's true. Mistletoe berries are very poisonous, as are things like May apple, as are things like periwinkle. And I tell you these as are things such as Pacific yew tree. And I tell you this because we have chemotherapy agents, modern chemotherapy agents today that, for instance, Pacific yew tree is the taxane family, Taxotere, Taxol. Mm-hmm. The May apple family, the crabtree, that gets us into some of the like things like some of the Ronatecan families and whatnot, get into all these other plant medicines. These were toxic plants that have been taken, they've been synthetically reorganized and put into chemotherapeutics. Mistletoe itself is a toxic plant. If you went out and ingested the berries, it could be harmful to you. And so what's interesting about this plant is we have co-evolved with all these plants since the beginning of time on this planet. So I think there's wisdom to these plants that we often underestimate or sort of ignore, despite the fact that anywhere from 50 to 70%, depending who you ask, of our pharmacopoeia, meaning our modern pharmacy today, comes from the things, the wisdom of these plants that we've co-evolved with, mistletoe being no different. In the literature, we show that we've been using mistletoe for thousands and thousands of years. Even Hippocrates speaks to using this as a therapy for spleen disorders, as a therapy for seizure disorders, for neuralgias. All the way back then, when it was turned into a tincture or a poultice, they used it for poultice, for arthralgias for many, many years. So pretty interesting there. It had been used even at the time, it goes into mythology. So you go back to like the Druids' time, and they talked about taking a sprig of mistletoe to interact with your beloved who's gone to the other side. They talked about its ability to, sort of remove the veil between living and dying. The time that it blooms, it's out of sync with nature, and that the leaves sprout very slowly in the summer months, but the fruit, it fruits in the winter, which doesn't happen with any other plants. And so it has these really interesting characteristics that, just over 100 years ago, a very interesting philosopher, many people know this man's work, Rudolf Steiner. This man was known, if you know anything about permaculture, if you've ever heard of the Waldorf education, if you've ever heard about sort of sacred geometry and architecture, and if you've ever heard about anthroposophical medicine, those are all things that Rudolf Steiner and his teachings have brought forth to the world today. And so he had the observation of this thing growing in trees. If you've ever looked, like, even, I don't have a good picture, it's probably hard to see on the cover of the book, but could you see, when you look at trees in nature, you'll see these balls. There's 3,000 species of this all over the world.
It reminds me of whenever I've seen it in trees, like a Spanish moss or a lichen or something else that's kind of growing with the tree.
Exactly. It's known as a semi-parasitic plant. So it is definitely in a symbiotic relationship with that tree, unless there becomes an imbalance in that relationship over time, where either the tree pushes that parasite out or the parasite takes over. So much like how we are in the world today, right? We have to tend to the balance within ourselves to create the symbiotic nature and relationships with all that we're being exposed to on a day-to-day basis. Same kind of thing goes here. So what Rudy, good old Rudolf Steiner, noticed is that it looked like tumors in the branches of trees. And he just sort of
does.
Mm-hmm, right. And he thought, that's interesting. Just in the world of the doctrine of signatures, which is part of every foundational vitalistic medical system, from Ayurvedic to Chinese to naturopathic to homeopathic, when we look at something like, oh, look, a walnut, it kind of looks like a brain. I wonder if it's helpful for the brain. Well, fast forward several thousand years and some research dollars later, and we say, in fact, the oils of this seed are very, or this nut are very, very helpful for the brain. Just like we look at ginseng from Chinese medicine and we're like, wow, this seems very good for like virility. Why? Because, well, it frankly looks like male genitalia. And so there's those pieces. And so the same type of thing with mistletoe growing in a tree, you're like, kind of looks like a tumor. Wonder if it'd be good for that, especially given that it grows so out of sync with this environment. That is so what cancer is. And so mistletoe has what it's probably best known for, even though it has this toxic component, the way it is extracted today in modern times and has been for now over 100 years, it just hit its 100th birthday in 2021. They take extracts of the leaf from the summer and extracts of the berry in the winter. They pulverize it. Some forms are then hydrolyzed, like added water, and put into a vortices, chamber. Some are then put in water and then fermented. And then they are standardized out to particular, extracts that are standardized in their milligram dosing of things like viscotoxins. So there's the toxic aspect, which is also the cytotoxic, meaning tumor killing aspect of this plant. But then there's also things like polysaccharides, and you being in the world of autoimmunity, that is very powerful as immunomodulation, and things like lectins, same thing, that lectins can be potentiating to an immune reaction or diminishing to immune reaction. And so when you put all these things together in a particular extract, you have something that is incredibly immunomodulating. not immunostimulating. And so though this has been used for over 100 years in the cancer community, we also think that it lends itself well when timed in the right time and place with folks dealing with autoimmunity as another powerful resource to sort of create what I call the three R's of immunity. It allows the body to first recognize that something's in the system, right? And then it has it able to respond. So whether it's bringing in T cells, natural killer cells, whatever needs to happen, balancing of TH1, TH2, which is a really big part of the autoimmune dance, there's the respond. And then the third is to remember. So if it's exposed to it again, it knows precisely what to do. Most of us are missing one to all of those three R's today living on the planet, as is evident of this lovely global pandemic we're looking at. Though I personally think we've got bigger pandemics to fry in the field of you know, cancer and diabetes and obesity and mental health. Those are some things that we are even more pandemic in nature, but we don't really serve. But I love how mistletoe can support all those three R's in a very profound way. And so that's what drew me into this work. I started working with this plant 2003 to 2006. I've started using it for myself many years after my own cancer diagnosis, because I also, like so many of your listeners, have a lovely little basket collection of autoimmune diseases. endometriosis, polycystic ovarian syndrome, rheumatoid arthritis, celiac, Hashimoto's. I'm sure I'm forgetting one in there, but at least those five are in my basket. And so I have an ongoing relationship with keeping my immune system balanced. And so I wasn't actually bringing mistletoe on for myself, despite using it in patients with cancer for many years to treat my cancer. I was bringing it on to see if it could help me modulate my immune system a little bit better in about 2012. So now I actually apply a box of injections every year just for my tune-up. So there you have it. And so we finally, I've been lecturing on mistletoe for many years. I've been applying it to my patient population almost exclusively since 2006. I've been a global expert in it and teaching and consulting on research trials around the world, and been going in with fellow colleagues to co-facilitate and teach physicians how to use this in therapy. And these same physicians and I had the absolute divine privilege of writing this book that we just had come out in November 2021. And we're very proud of it. It's been a bestseller for the book publisher who took it on. They can't keep it on the shelves at Barnes & Noble or Amazon or Steiner Books. They have to keep going. So we're very pleased, because though it's mistletoe forward, it's also a commentary about our current medical system, a commentary about where medicine needs to go, a commentary about functional, preventative medicine, as well as integrative oncology and all the things in between. So it's a beautiful book with beautiful writers, seven of us in total from all over the world, from a couple of naturopaths to a couple of MDs to conventional oncologists to anthroposophical MDs. We're a lovely hodgepodge, and it flows. And we've been given great feedback that it reads just beautifully. So I'm proud of it. I feel like we just delivered a beautiful baby into the world, and we want to just show it off. And so what I should say here is, this isn't a promotion to like go and sell a book. This book is a nonprofit book.
Really?
So, okay. All these proceeds go further enhance mistletoe research to make it more available in the United States. Mistletoe is very much part of the registry for pharmaceuticals all over the world. But the United States, we're a little bit back asswards. And so we just finished a phase one clinical trial at Hopkins. Another one's getting ready to go on this for mistletoe use with IV for solid tumors. But so it's helping fund clinical trials, it's helping fund clinical research, but it's also helping fund education, both for patients and physicians. So it's not going in our pockets. It's not going in the pocket of the publisher after they recoup the cost of publishing, printing the book. This all goes into that. So it's for a good cause as well.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. Now, I want to circle back and just comment on a couple of things. Guys, don't go like eat mistletoe off the trees.
Okay? Please, God, no. No.
This has been all sorts of studied and grown correctly and then turned into the right dosages and the whole thing.
And it's done in a very CLIA approved medical laboratory environment with extreme standardizations, there's such detail into it. It's prescription only. It's through a pharmacy. And in the United States, Uriel Pharmacy is the only pharmacy we have access to readily in this country. We can get it, some of us, from some of our pharmacies in Europe, but they often get blocked at the border. So we just try to use the best we can here. The book goes into the detail of why of all that. We won't do that here, but it's not like willy-nilly. Don't go experiment with this. It's not a protocol. You will find that it's very much about learning all about you, the person, what makes you tick, and then applying the medicine accordingly to you, and then letting your body guide the treatment, because it's a titrated treatment. And especially for those listening who have an autoimmune condition, either historically or is current or currently flaring, you have to tread very carefully with this medicine. So you want to work with a well-trained provider, which you'll find resources in the book on who those are. There's also a website called themistletoebook.com. If you don't want to purchase the book, there are great resources of who is a trained provider in this to see if it's right for you, because it really does take a skilled provider to know how to work with someone who has a very tenuous immune system. So we can work on, as you've heard me do this in your talks before, the teeter-totter, one on one side, Th2 on the other. Th1 dominant people tend to, it's not always, but tend to have autoimmune conditions. People with Th2 dominance on the other side tend to have oncology conditions. What I love about mistletoe is, for the most part, it lands right in the center of the little teeter-totter balance, like the little fulcrum there. And it is modulating, but it does have a tendency to be slightly more Th2 dominating than Th1 dominating than Th2. So if you do have a tendency towards autoimmunity, you just have to approach it in a very unique way, which is easy. I do it with thousands of people around the world all the time, and myself included. You just need to work with someone who knows what to look for, what to ask for, and to get you safely onboarded.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Now, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, I'm going to go off track here for just a minute, like we always do. I want to talk to you a little bit about balancing, because I remember when a couple of years ago, I was told, anointed or whatever, oh, Sharon, you're in remission. And I said, well, yeah, I've known that for a couple of years. but then I got the finger wag, but that doesn't mean you're healed. Well, right. Hey, number one, I was like, please don't talk to me like that. You just installed all sorts of things. Thank you very much. But I want to talk about this idea of the body remembering and how everything that we do, and I love your book, The Metabolic Approach to Cancer, because that too is really deep information. As you can tell, Dr. Nasha, she's just immerses herself in this work. And in The Metabolic Approach to Cancer, it's all about the ketogenic diet as well as other non-toxic bio-individualized therapies. But I want to talk about this idea of the body remembering. And are there things that we can do to enhance that remembering? Because a lot of us here on the Autoimmune Hour are thrivers, and we want to stay that way.
Yes, Cindy, I'm totally with you. I feel like I'm amongst my tribe here. And so, you know, there's definitely things we can do to help our body stay in that balanced teeter-totter fashion, you know, and life happens. So you might feel little perturbations every once in a while. That's normal. This is not to justify what your physician said to you, but I do tell people there is no such thing as a cure. Right. There is only such thing as prevention and ongoing support and maintenance of your own terrain.
Oh, and I'm fine with that. But when somebody wags their finger and says, you're not healed.
Right.
Well, and okay. There's right. better ways to say that.
I was trying to give the better way that they could have said that, because what happens a lot of times is people like ring the bell after cancer therapy or taper off their steroid and think they're done with their autoimmune flare or whatever. And then they go back to business as usual. Well, it's that back to business as usual that often gets us in trouble, because it was the soil in which you got sick is what needs to be amended to change your future response. So you might finally change up the soil. You're doing great. You're going along for a couple of years, and then you get hit with a curveball. Something soils your soil, right? So a stressful year.
Or
a major surgery, a major loss, or maybe you did get COVID or, you know, something else that really threw your system for a loop. It's sort of like you then have to start all over. Okay. Well, go back in, test and assess and address what's going on at that point. I guess my point is that it's nonlinear, it's dynamic. It will ebb and flow. And you just need to be on top of becoming just an acute observer and listener to your own body and knowing when to intervene. So coming back around to the memory piece is, first of all, get still enough and quiet enough to just kind of do a scan, a check-in of your own body. Get your basic labs, the most important labs for everybody to run. I don't care if you're no disease of any kind. I don't care if you are dealing with cancer, cardiovascular disease, autoimmune disease, dementia, doesn't matter. The baselines for all of you I want you to get is a complete blood chemistry, CBC, with differential, which is going to show us the breakdown of your neutrophils, your lymphocytes, which are types of white blood cells, along with your platelets. And then it's going to even show us these little ratios, these neutrophil to lymphocyte ratios. So that little guy, that's going to tell us, like, if your white blood cells are classic chronically low, that's a clue that you're either under high chronic stress, that you're dealing with a heavy metal burden, or a co-infection process. So maybe some type of crazy virus or bacteria or something that's just been on freeloading off you for some time, right? Or if you're somebody who's undergoing certain medical therapies, there are certain medications and treatments like radiation and certain chemos will definitely deplete the white blood cells for a period of time. But if they've not recovered after that completion, you know, the completion of those treatments, you want to explore further as to the why. The other critical thing of that $12 out-of-pocket CBC test at a direct-to-consumer walk-in lab is your neutrophils, which are the subunit of your white blood cells, to lymphocyte ratio. You want to have 2-to-1 neutrophils to lymphocytes. When you start to get higher, 2.5, 3, 4-to-1, that's a big problem in your immune system. That actually shows that your immune system is not functioning. And when it goes the opposite direction, when you start to encroach on a 1-to-1 ratio and then more lymphocytes to neutrophils, that's a condition known as myelodysplastic syndrome, or a switched neutrophil to lymphocyte ratio. And that starts to allude to some things like possible leukemias, dyscrasias, lymphomas, which can show up also when the immune system is terribly compromised or certain extreme toxicities from chemo or from glyphosate or things have come on board. So that simple little test tells us a lot about the function of your immune system and gives me kind of an idea of the clue of how your teeter-totter is functioning. Monocytes, if those are elevated, that can be a clue to a viral inhabitant. You know, that's one. Eosinophils can show us that you're probably being ingesting or inhaling an allergen in your environment that's keeping your immune system on hyper alert. Basophils should be zero. If basophils are showing up, there's definitely something that your immune system is reacting to. And so when I see all three, monocytes, eosinophils, and basophils elevated, then I know we got to do some deeper testing because you likely have a little critter on board that needs to be dealt with. Okay. And it's a cheap way. Like, people are like, well, I should get a parasite test. I'm like, yeah, for $12, that's what you could do. Those are pretty much your telltale signs of a parasite or some other co-infective process. I did a deep dive on how to analyze your CBC with an interview with my colleague and co-author, Jess Higgins Kelly, at her Oncology Nutrition Institute, ONI. If you go to oncologynutritioninstitute.com and you're curious about a deeper dive into that CBC discussion, it's a 90-minute interview we did on how to analyze your own CBC and how to glean volumes of data about your own body from that simple test. So I'd want you to get that test. I want you to get a CMP, which stands for complete metabolic panel. That's going to show me your organ function and your electrolyte function and your level of general nourishment. So with that, it's also going to show me your glucose. So it's going to start giving me clues to what's going on with your metabolic health. It's going to give me clues to how your liver is processing things, because sometimes the first signs of fatty liver, meaning you stop processing things, is your ALT and AST and alkaline will start to rise. If your electrolytes are off, your sodium and your potassium are low, basically we're just electrical beings. And so if those are low, you're got electrical shorting happening, right? So things like that, you can also tell hydration status and kidney function. So creatinine and the B1C ratio can show you hydration status. And then the other tests I like to run is a C-reactive protein. That is very important today because inflammation and an elevated CRP has been shown to be part of the all-cause mortality of COVID, people dealing with COVID in hospitalizations. The other test that we're finding also correlates with a higher mortality rate or higher risk of having problems with COVID are people with low vitamin D. And so this is also a population in the autoimmune world that tends to have high CRP and low vitamin D. So that this is why we're more at risk. It's not that the virus is any meaner to us. It's just that our terrains are not as resilient as they should be. And then the big one that we also know is sort of a prognostic for our response to this viral pandemic is an insulin and a hemoglobin A1C. So just to give some parameters, your insulin should be under 5. If you're dealing with a cancer diagnosis, I want it even more strictly guided than that. I like it under 3. Your hemoglobin A1C, you should shoot to get it under 5 as well. Western medicine says you're diabetic when it goes above 5.6, but I'm telling you right now, you're diabetic when it starts to go above 5.4. It doesn't go away on its own. So you want to keep your A1C down as low as possible. Your CRP should be less than 1. If it's above that, you've got inflammation somewhere in the body. So these are the ways that you can take charge of saying, okay, I know what's under the hood. I know how to deal with this. And this is for any condition, not just being COVID resilient, not just being autoimmune resilient or cancer resilient or cardiovascular resilient or metabolically resilient or diabetic resilient. It's so integral to know this. And these tests out of pocket, if you did a walk-in labs, $100, $120, probably, it is so worth the investment to spend that now because it's a hell of a lot more expensive to deal with a diagnosis, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And so that's really critical. So that's what plays when we talk about the remembering, your body cannot remember when your neutrophil to lymphocyte ratios are off, when your white blood cells are down, when your CRP is up, when your vitamin D levels are down. So that's why I gave you that huge tutorial to understand that it's not just do this, don't do this. It's about understanding your terrain and fortifying it. So that's where you can go even deeper. You could look at things like selenium levels and zinc levels. You can look at GGT, which is a measure of your glutathione levels, things like that, that can even hone in even more, but you can keep it cheap and you can glean a lot of information from just these labs I illustrated here, which can help tune and hone your immune system to pick up its surveillance, which is the recognition, its response, which is the attacking aspect of it, and the remembering if and when it gets exposed to it again and again. And so that's the piece, is if any of those are faltering of what I just described, your body won't be able to do any of those R's, you know, much less any one of them. So that's what's happening is people are like, I got all my vaccines, but you know, here we go. Well, my gosh, if you have a low vitamin D level, then the vaccine literally had nothing to land on. Like So when we can check someone who has all of those labs I just talked about that are out of whack and they get the vaccine, we can check their neutralizing antibodies 4 to 6 weeks after they've had the vaccine. And we realize these people are not keeping a robust response. So that tells us their bodies do not remember when they get exposed to it again. And guess what, folks? You're going to get exposed to it again. That's just the way it's going to keep running its course until it gets bored of us and then we'll move on to greener pastures. So that's where I'm saying is I don't care what side of the crazy polarity, you know, side of things you land. I don't care. It's just like that teeter totter we talked about. I want you to focus here. And the focus here is what you can do. Fortify your D3, get your insulin under control, your A1C under control. Start to really take care of your body. You've got to move it. You've got to get into the sunlight. You've got to hydrate. You have to nourish it. You have to remove the insults to injury. If you're still eating inflammatory foods, that CRP is never going to budge. If you're still staying indoors all day in front of your blue screen lights, your vitamin D is never going to budge, right? These are just some of the examples. It's like you have to help the medicines do their job better. You have to help prevent the virus from wreaking havoc better. And you have to help the autoimmunity for maintaining a manageable balance better, or the cancer to have a better response to whatever therapy it's taking on, or to prevent it from progressing or recurring better. And it's in those little terrain values that we can qualify and quantify, which is super cool, that gives us the control to change the game.
We need to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Dr. Winters some more about a lot of this is about our general health. Like, what is our state and how do we get it to be optimized? Like I always like to say, it's about optimizing and optimize to make sure that it's not just the virus we're avoiding, but we're avoiding all the other negative outcomes. So we'll be right back.
Mm-hmm. Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach, and my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm here with Dr. Misha Winters. And she's such a good friend to myself and the show. And she has a brand new book out along with some co-authors, Mistletoe and the Emerging Future of Integrative Oncology. So the co-author of The Metabolic Approach to Cancer. Here's the cover of it if you're watching it on video. And I wanted to circle around about mistletoe for just another minute here and list a few of the things. I know we said it, but sometimes I'm just a little confused on what would be some of the more common reasons someone should search out a mistletoe medical expert.
Sure. You know, it's been known as a cancer therapy. So keeping that in mind, if you're someone who is dealing both with autoimmunity and a cancer diagnosis, this may be something you need to consider for both fortification of your system while going through treatment, because it's very powerful to prevent all of the pancytopenias. So that means the low white blood cells, red blood cells, platelets that can often accompany standard of care treatment. So it's not contraindicated. In fact, it's mostly used. I mean, it's known to work well with others. So it likes to play in the sandbox with chemotherapy and radiation and targeted therapies and hormone blockade therapies, et cetera. So there's zero contraindication with this. You work with your physician on that. So it's helpful to help fortify you for that. It's also well known for its effect on fatigue, cancer fatigue in particular, but it's also shown that it's helped with like Lyme fatigue and other, you know, fatigue that goes to things like fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome, right? So it's definitely has, it seems to have a positive impact on the level of fatigue that people experience. It's also shown very positive qualities on the quality of life as far as the psychology. There's evidence that it may raise our endorphins and our impact our endocannabinoid system. So there's some interesting things there about just this release of endorphins and upregulation of our ananda receptors, which are our bliss receptors, which are part of the endocannabinoid, our endogenous endocannabinoid system. So it definitely is the feel. It can, people always tell me, it's like, well, could I feel better? Like this just, it shifts the perspective. And then it also has a huge role in its pain management. Do you recall that I talked about its use in arthralgias and migraines and, you know, other things? In fact, the Uriel Pharmacy box says this is for oral use only for the treatment of migraines. That's what it's been registered for in the United States. We're using it as an off-label here, despite it's been used for 100 years in the rest of the dang world as an injectable, which is how it's used And the only way it's used for it to be effective, because those lectins and those polysaccharides and those viscotoxins are very, very vulnerable to the getting into the air. You know, so they're very volatile in the air. They're very volatile once they touch our mouth. They're very volatile in our gut, meaning by the time it even gets to your stomach, it's all the contents are probably digested. So it has to go for its medical benefit specific to what we're aiming for in immunomodulation, whether it's for cancer or autoimmunity or co-infection issues like Lyme's. It must be injected or intravenously given, right? So that's how it works. Can you use it as SIPs for things like migraines and whatnot? Yeah, actually there are indications for that. And even its whole tincture, even though it's not used for cancer, if you see a whole plant extract of mistletoe out there used in a tincture, first of all, you need to work with an herbalist who knows how to use the toxic herbs, but it's not used in the type of realm we're talking about here today. Again, the book goes into great detail about the differentiation of the forms and applications of this. But ultimately, if you're dealing with also just this a constantly suppressed immune system or a constantly aggressive immune system, or one that vacillates wildly between the two, this can help that center of the teeter-totter regulate. One of the things I love about the anthroposophical philosophy around the use of mistletoe therapy is they talk about that cancers and chronic illness are a loss of rhythm. Okay, rhythm to the relationship within ourselves, our cell-to-cell communication, but also the rhythm outside of our bodies, you know, to the seasons, to the people around us, to the environment. And so one of the cool things that mistletoe shows us that it does is it seems to reestablish a system. So there's very cool studies on its impact on circadian rhythm biology, on its metabolic biology. So it's actually been used in diabetic environments, and on its hormonal regulation. It's actually been shown to have some aromatase inhibition and serotonin or some impact on estrogen receptor sites as well. So hormone modulating. And then it definitely seems to have, as I said, some impact on serotonin dopamine pathways and definitely into the endocannabinoid and endorphin pathways, which are feel good mechanisms. If any of those things we discussed on that list resonate with something you're currently dealing with, and if you've had a tenacious case of whatever it is you're dealing with, this might be something interesting to explore with one of your providers. A lot of my colleagues and I will find that if you've been someone who's been on in this group, probably a lot of you, things like low dose naltrexone, if you've been on that for a while and it's kind of lost its pizzazz, we find that mistletoe often potentiates it. Same being true if we've had a patient who's been on mistletoe for a while and maybe their tumor burden is starting to pick up momentum again, we'll often introduce LDN to potentiate that. They are BFFs. They completely do a lot of similar things. They have a lot of similar mechanism of action. And even low-dose naltrexone has some anti-cancer properties, some cytotoxic properties, but mistletoe is definitely more cancer forward, where LDN is more autoimmune forward, but oftentimes we put them together, whichever direction we're trying to push, it tends to push it a little bit better together.
I liked it. You had a phrase there, loss of rhythm.
Yeah.
And I love this idea how years ago I talked to Dr. Perlmutter about this description I've loved, and I'd love your insights into it. He said, look, Sharon, we're just one big chemical stew. And it just depends on what you're putting in to the stew that changes how the outcome of the flavor of the stew is going to be. And that's what it sounds like here, is this understanding the rhythm of our bodies and the rhythm of our well-being and what we can do to optimize. And it sounds like mistletoe could be an option for some people to change that, as well as LDN, which we've talked about on the show before, as well as you and I have talked in great detail just about, I won't say just, that's probably not fair, about diet in general and how so many of the foods that we're eating now are not the foods our grandparents ate. So we have just about 15 minutes left. Can we like do a left-hand turn here and just talk about, as if our bodies were not under stress prior to pandemic, et cetera, right. The past 2 years, I think understanding eating our nutrients is more important now than ever.
Huge, because this is when, if you go on my website, DrNasha, DrNasha.com, check back into my archives of March 2020, when all poo was really hitting the fan, and read my blog, because I've not deviated from my belief system. or my approach one iota. It has literally not changed. And in fact, I was looking, my blog was like all filled of hope and unicorns and butterflies, that here's our opportunity and COVID's a messenger and it's going to help us get our poo in a pile and clean up our mess of our diet and our lifestyle and our environment. Hello. And then the news started showing like everyone going crazy for, you know, toilet paper and frozen pizzas. And everyone talks about the COVID-15 or the COVID-40 or whatever it is they put on. And everyone like locking themselves down inside in front of Zoom meetings and binging Netflix and stopping to move their body. I mean, we're actually sicker now than we were pre-COVID, which is so freaky to me, because I would have thought this would have been a wake the F up call. And apparently it was, nope, just shut your eyes and go to bed and we'll let you know when it's over. And so, which it's not. I tell you, I'm like, I look around, I'm like, am I the only one noticing this? Is this crazy?
I'm on board with that. I'm looking around and like, this has been an ideal time to accentuate my health. I finally have moments in my day to stop and say, okay, is this the life I wanted to be living?
Yes. Well, this is part of why we used to be snowbirds in the winter the last almost 10 years. And we've decided this is our permanent place down in Mexico. We've made our diet even cleaner. We've gotten more committed to we fast 3 days a month in a water fast and twice a year in a 5-day. We just came out of our first of the year 5-day water fast. And we are eating in a restricted time eating window a couple times a week. And we're really knowing our farmers and ranchers and knowing where our food is sourced from and take great lengths to make sure everything we put into our body is medicine. And, you know, this morning before this meeting, I had a meeting with a group of investors that are interested in funding our database. And this is the quote they said, and you literally said it almost the same way as what your conversation with Dr. Perlmutter was, you know, several years ago, which was the outcome, okay, is only as good as the input.
Exactly.
And they were talking specifically about a data platform, like put the information in, the more good information you put in, the more stuff we can learn and know. But isn't that true for everything right now?
Oh yeah. Garbage in, garbage out, regardless of whether it's the human body or your database.
Exactly. So let's just get very basic. And so quick little chronology of where we've gone wrong. Up until 1850, we were all considered what we would call today low carb. And that was just then called normal carb. But in 1850, the Industrial Food Revolution kicked in. And that's also when we started to mill sugar and flour and process it and start to put it out there into anything and everything. That picked up momentum up until World War I, where we actually were like, woo, everyone's eating tons and tons of bread and pasta. World War I, we had to ration it. You can look at the data. Our health drastically plummeted from 1850 until the 19 teens, pre-World War I, until we had World War I. We had a blip of a huge spike in the improvement of our health, despite a world war raging, okay? Despite a world war raging, despite the 1918 flu, despite, you know, all the things that were going on because of bread rations.
Wow.
And sugar rations. Take a look at that in the medical history. Quite fascinating. Then it kind of picked up momentum again. And then thanks to World War II, we had all this leftover stuff, you know, biochemical warfare and ammunition. And we decided, thanks to the people who basically invested in and made money from the wars, they still needed to keep that money train going. So they're like, well, what can we do with all this leftover stuff? Oh, I've got an idea. Let's put it into our soil and into our humans, which turned into big ag and big pharma as we know it today. Again, I'm totally giving you the Cliff's Notes version, but this is well documented in your medical history. Then that exploded things. We started really going to town on creating, you know, TV dinners, right? Like, let's help the women who had to get out of the house to help all the men who went off to war. Let's help them feed their kids with TV dinners. Like, that's one of the things. Well, then women didn't want to go back into the house after World War II. So we kept on the trend of, we no longer were cooking. We got away from our victory gardens, which we were having. And we got away from all those things. And we're like, convenience. Convenience was the name of the game. Moving into the 50s, the Tupperware parties, all the weird Jell-O salad, Betty Crocker cookbook stuff, and all the pre-made meals and TV dinners, that became everything. In the 1960s, we started to introduce in laboratory environments GMOs and glyphosate. And a lot of scientists at the time, including one still living and thriving, Dr. Huber at a Purdue University in Indiana, said, wait a minute, guys, this looks like a problem. By the 1980s, it was insidiously seeping into our entire food and water culture over and animal husbandry all over the world. Today, you can't even find a single organic crop without residues of GMO and glyphosate because of it's in the rainwater, it's in the groundwater, it's in the soil, it's in the air. And so things that sequester it the most are grains and legumes. And that's what our USDA subsidized food monetary desires, not your health desires, keep us believing that we need to be having multiple servings of that a day. That is not for our health and well-being. And the more servings you have of those a day, the more you're exposed to those endocrine disrupting chemicals. So that, on top of the fact that we went from an average of 5 pounds of sugar per person per year before 1850 to an average of, depending on the research you look at, 140 to 175 pounds of sugar per person per year today, right? Big difference. Also to the fact that we all have become fat phobic, took all the good fats out of our diet and replaced them all with trans fats and low fats, which means more sugar, we've created quite a cluster. And so we are now, per research, we are now less than 12% of Americans, and I actually think this is probably global, but we have the studies here in the US, less than 12% of Americans are metabolically flexible. And what I mean by that is less than 12% of us have labs that would look like you could fight COVID or deal with the side effects of the COVID vaccine or stave off cancer or autoimmunity or mental illness or obesity and cardiovascular disease. And that is where you've just seen us go off the rails entirely. So really in a relatively short 150 year experiment, we've screwed things up very, very bad. And the only way to change it back is you have to take personal responsibility. You have to do your due diligence. In my book that you have, The Metabolic Approach to Cancer, Jess and I created a questionnaire. Do your personal inventory, do your personal audit, look in your medicine cabinets, look under your sink, look in your fridge, in your pantry, in your freezer, see what's in there. Start taking inventory of that, change it up. If it's not good, the next time you go to purchase something, do better. You know, you can do it in steps. It doesn't have to be all overnight. The next step is have those labs run that we talked about at the beginning of the show. That will tell you. That's not you saying, the people who say to me, well, I was healthy till I got cancer. I'm like, guess what? We start digging. You were a hot effing mess for probably 2 decades and didn't even know it. Wouldn't that have been nice to know? So I'm trying to help you guys not ever have to see me or one of my colleagues ever in this arena. So do your homework, do your due diligence. It's worth springing for $100-$150 out of pocket to go run these yourself if you can't get your doctors to run them, right? And then number three, find someone who can help you do something with it if you're not self-educated, self-motivated, and self-resourced enough to do it on your own. There's plenty out there to help you do it on your own, but sometimes folks are just overwhelmed and need a coach. So we are training, at this point, we have 100 people that are getting ready to graduate from our patient advocacy program. Though focused in oncology, they're really focused on the terrain. It doesn't matter what your condition is, your diagnosis, they can help you analyze your audit, your data, and help you do something about it. We have 200 more starting in our program in March of 2022. Our plan is to basically have a global net of these one-on-one resources all over the world. And we have 80 physicians who've now gone through this program with another 40 queued up to start in February 2022 all over the world. The plan is to change healthcare. We know we can't change healthcare as it is, so we're building a new healthcare system. And in that, we're also building a healthcare hospital and on 300 acres of regenerative soil and gardening and ranching to show people what it takes to live healthy on a very unhealthy planet. And that is our nonprofit that you'll get some links on that we talk about in the new Mistletoe book and that Sharon will share the link on Metabolic Terrain Institute of Health, which is MTIofHealth.org, which is a nonprofit organization where we're putting our education programs and our patient support and our patient advocacy, as well as physician training programs. This is the only way we're going to change this narrative because clearly I waited excitedly in spring of 2020 thinking someone's going to finally do something about it from the top down. They haven't done a damn thing. They've made it far worse. So I'm just pushing up my sleeves and getting out there with a building and growing empowered network. And we're going to clean up the mess and we're going to change things from the ground up.
Bravo. Bravo, sister. Dr. Nation and I are sisters with a different mother.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh. So, wow. Congratulations on the book. We're down to the last 5 minutes. I want to give you any final thoughts that you want to share about, I'll just say the current issue going on right now is this, I don't even know how you pronounce it, Omicron, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So any final thoughts, just like on keeping ourselves healthy as far as our diet, like you were talking at levels about vitamin D and things. Are there any simple things we can do?
Yeah. Well, I would start to making sure you're fasting 13 hours a day. So meaning you finish dinner, you don't eat again outside of water or herbal tea through the evening, maybe some black coffee or tea when you get up with nothing in it for 13 hours. So say finish at 6 and don't eat again until 7. That is one way to increase something called autophagy, which helps your body take out the garbage. If you feel like it, if you want to push yourself a little bit, do 16 hours of that twice a week. That will be the next level. That will take out even more garbage. That's going to start to create that metabolic flexibility that I talked to you about that most of us have lost. And then what you're going to start to do is you're going to start taking out any refined sugar from your diet just from the get-go. And then I challenge you to start to let go of the breads, the crackers, the pastas. Start there. Then maybe start to let go of some of your, you know, your addictions to your beans and legumes. And then maybe start to cut away your addiction of really starchy things like potatoes, right? And just ease it down a little bit while increasing good quality fat. When in doubt, olive oil is the best way to go. And start to really up your olive oil intake. Those are things that are going to fortify the metabolic health, which will fortify and lower your inflammation and increase your vitamin D levels. Things like butter, good quality grass-fed and finished butter is high in vitamin D. 20 minutes of unprotected sunshine every day is very important, even in the winter months. Even if it's you sitting in front of a glass pane window where the sun is even filtering through the clouds on you, it's going to help you expose as much of your skin to that as possible. Naked if your neighbors don't mind. You know, things like that. Exercise, move your body something every single day. 30 minutes of walking 5 days a week is what the research shows could stave off a lot of our health crisis in the world today.
And if you can't walk, I mean, I hear this all the time, but Sharon, you know what? Yeah. Take as many steps as you can. And I've noticed, because I was there, my legs weren't working 7 years ago. Take as many steps as you can. And pretty soon, you're taking more and you're taking more.
Exactly. Use it or lose it. Right. And so, and if you're someone who is incapacitated right now, get into a little far infrared sauna or sit in front of a Juve light that can help your mitochondria start to repair and your body take the garbage out more and enhance circulation and oxygenation at the same time. So there's tools like that, that are the little simple, inexpensive things. And then things like, there's a great book that just came out from one of my colleagues. You should get her on your show. It's called Metabolic Flexibility. And it's by Bonnie Nedrow, N-E-D-R-O-W. And I so apologize if I slaughtered your name, Bonnie. I just know you as Bonnie. She's a naturopathic physician and colleague of mine. And she's also incredibly passionate. She's one of the co-facilitators of the Environmental Health Symposium that we attend every year as physicians for clinical medical education credits. Brilliant, very passionate. She herself found that people could lower their toxic burden by getting on these higher fat, lower carbohydrate diets that help their bodies get rid of those little adipose storage tanks of toxicity that we all clump onto internally. So she talks about that. She gives some very good resources. My other colleague, Dr. Mindy Peltz, P-E-L-Z, she has a beautiful following on her Resetters podcast about how to employ safely intermittent fasting. And so these are very, and even Bonnie's book, by the way, I think was 99 cents this week on Amazon. So I'd go like that, you know, things like that. But, and Mindy's podcast is for free. So there are free resources. So there's no excuse that we can't start to explore, take charge, ask ourselves some questions, get curious, observe our own rhythms, find out where we're in balance, where we're out of balance, and do our part to become more resilient to everything you're facing in the world today.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Dr. Winters. We're out of time, but I loved seeing you again. Fantastic. Congratulations on your new book and clearing up my misconceptions just from the title alone.
So. I love it. Well, it was the perfect segue into it because it's fascinating to even know that these toxic herbs are actually our allies.
Well, we had Maria Fadiman on. She's an ethnobotanist with National Geographic. And she was talking about how she goes out and explores the jungles of everywhere. Well, she used to. Right now, I guess that's not happening.
But
yeah, that was fascinating too, about all of the different plants. And unfortunately, in some cases that we're losing. So, but I guess that's for another time.
Exactly.
Because we're just down to the last couple of seconds. So thank you, Dr. Winters. We'll have all of the URLs that she mentioned up on the website at understandingautoimmune.com, as well as the replay of this show. And everyone, join me next week for a brand new episode. Have a great week, whatever your adventures. Enjoy.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites and other media outlets, is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.